Ever like tripped and fallen at a hotel? Maybe even thought about like suing, you know?
Oh,
You
yeah.
see that big familiar name like plastered on the sign and you think, okay, these guys, they've got deep pockets.
Right.
But what if that hotel isn't actually owned by that big corporation? What if it's a franchise?
Yeah.
That's the question kind of at the heart of this case. Murphy v. Holiday Inns, Inc., a case that's really shaped the whole franchise landscape.
I think this case is crucial for anyone involved in franchise law. Whether you're a lawyer, a business owner, or just like a consumer, you know what I mean?
Right.
It set this key precedent that franchisers aren't automatically liable for every incident at a franchise location. The key factor is control. Like, did they have direct control over the day-to-day operations?
Yeah, that makes sense. So let's dive into the specifics. Kyron Murphy slips and falls at a Holiday Inn in Danville, Virginia, back in 1971. Seems pretty straightforward. She sues Holiday Inns, Inc. But there's a twist.
Yeah, this particular Holiday Inn wasn't actually directly owned by Holiday Inns, Inc. It was operated by a separate company, Betsy Lynn, under this licensing agreement.
Okay.
And that agreement is where things get really interesting.
Okay, so we've got a licensing agreement, a slip and fall, and a big question about who's ultimately responsible. What did this agreement actually say, and how did the court determine if Holiday Inns, Inc. was calling the shots?
So the agreement allowed Betsy Lynn to use the Holiday Inn name, logo, that whole recognizable brand identity. It also required them to meet certain standards, think like building specifications, using the trade name, and paying various fees. But the court really zeroed in on something very specific. Did Holiday Inns, Inc. have control over the day-to-day operations of that specific motel?
Ah, so just because Holiday Inns, Inc. wanted the brand to be consistent across all locations doesn't automatically mean they were controlling every little detail of how Betsy Lynn ran the business, right?
Exactly. Think of it like this. You wouldn't sue Apple just because someone tripped over a charging cable at like an independent electronics store that sells iPhones, right?
Right.
Just having a brand's products doesn't mean you control the business. And so the court applied this thing called the control test. Like, were they controlling the methods of the work at the motel or just the desired results?
Gotcha. That makes sense. So it's about the level of control, not just the fact that there's a big Holiday Inn sign outside. Did Holiday Inns, have the power to hire and fire staff? Did they
Right.
control the finances or tell the employees how to clean the rooms? These are some pretty significant details.
And what's really fascinating is that the court found that Holiday Inns, Inc. didn't have that level of day-to-day control. They couldn't dictate those hiring decisions, control the finances, or micromanage the daily maintenance.
So they essentially set some general guidelines, but didn't get into the nitty-gritty of how Betsy Lynn ran the motel. But wouldn't Murphy's lawyers argue that Holiday Inn's prominent branding created this expectation of responsibility? I mean, after all, she was at a Holiday Inn, relying on their reputation.
Absolutely. And that's where this concept of estoppel comes into play.
Okay.
Murphy's lawyers argued that Holiday Inns, Inc. created this appearance of ownership and control through their branding. So shouldn't they be held responsible based on that appearance?
But it sounds like the court wasn't convinced that just looking like the owner was enough to establish legal responsibility. Did they side with Holiday Inns, Inc. on this estoppel argument?
They did, yeah. The court basically said appearances can be deceiving. They emphasized that for a franchisor to be liable, you need like demonstrable control over the daily operations, not just the perception of control.
So this case isn't just about a slip and fall. It's about setting a legal precedent for the whole franchise model. This decision must have had huge implications for how franchise agreements are structured, right?
Oh, absolutely. Murphy v. Holiday Inns like became a blueprint. It showed franchisors that they could protect their brand and ensure, quality standards without automatically assuming liability for every incident at a franchise location. They could enforce certain requirements, like remember those building specifications and brand standards we talked about,
Right.
without like becoming legally entangled in the day-to-day operations.
Which, let's face it, is crucial for a company like Holiday Inn with, what, thousands of locations worldwide. Imagine the legal chaos if they were held responsible for every slip and fall or customer complaint across their entire network.
Exactly. And this case has been cited countless times since 1971 across various industries. It's helped create a balance allowing franchisors to maintain that brand consistency while giving franchisees the freedom to, run their businesses without that constant oversight from the big guys.
It's like finding that sweet spot. Enough control to protect the brand's reputation, but not so much that you open yourself up to unnecessary liability. But this case also raises questions about, like, consumer awareness. Do you think most people really understand that legal distinction between a company-owned location and a franchise?
That's a great point. I think there's often an assumption that if you see that big brand name, the corporation is directly responsible. But this case really highlights, like, the importance of being an informed consumer. You might be surprised to learn how many businesses actually operate under this franchise model.
So this knowledge could be helpful, like even in everyday situations. Imagine you're booking a hotel or choosing a restaurant. Knowing whether it's a franchise or a company owned could really influence your decision.
It definitely could. Understanding these legal structures can, like, empower consumers to make more informed choices about where they spend their money and with whom they do business, you know?
This whole discussion really makes me realize how much we take for granted when interacting with these, like, familiar brands. There's this whole complex legal framework behind those seemingly simple transactions.
Yeah, it's like a hidden world of agreements and regulations that most people never even think about. But cases like Murphy v. Holiday Inns, they kind of pull back the curtain and expose those crucial legal principles that impact, you know, our everyday lives.
It's fascinating how a single slip and fall in Danville, Virginia, could trigger such a, like, significant legal development. It's like a domino effect leading to this landmark decision that shaved an entire industry.
And that's the power of legal precedents. They don't just settle one dispute. They create these ripples that continue to shape how similar situations are handled for years to come. They provide guidance and clarity, ensuring fairness and consistency within the legal system.
So for our listeners out there who are lawyers or law students, what are some, like, key takeaways they should remember from this case? What are the real-world applications of this decision? I think the big takeaway here is the importance of understanding agency law, like in the context of franchises.
Yeah.
You know, it's about determining where that line is.
Mm-hmm.
When does a franchisor's desire for brand consistency cross over into actual control over the franchisee's operations?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this case really provides a framework for analyzing that question. It highlights the elements courts are going to consider, you know, like those hiring and firing decisions, financial control, the level of detail in the operating procedures. You know, this case is like a goldmine of information for lawyers who are, like, drafting and reviewing franchise agreements.
Yeah, it's like a roadmap for navigating those tricky legal waters. You know, you want enough control to protect the brand's reputation, but not so much that you create liability. But even if a franchisor isn't legally liable for every incident, don't they still have, like, a responsibility to ensure the safety and quality of their brand as a whole?
Absolutely. This case might shield them from certain types of legal liability, but it doesn't erase their ethical obligations. Franchisors have a vested interest in maintaining a consistent, positive experience for consumers across all locations. I mean, their reputation is on the line.
So it's a balancing act, legal protection on one hand, ethical considerations and brand reputation on the other. It makes you wonder how this case might apply to other situations beyond just slip and falls. What about, like, food safety at a restaurant franchise?
Right.
Or data security issues at a tech company with franchise locations?
Those are great examples, and they highlight how the principles from Murphy v. Holiday Inns can be applied to a wide range of situations. It all comes back to that control test. You know, who's calling the shots? Who's setting the procedures? Those are the questions lawyers will be asking.
Yeah, this has been, like, such an eye-opening deep dive. I never realized how much I didn't know about the legal complexities behind franchises. It's like a whole hidden world operating behind those, like, familiar logos.
And it just goes to show, even a seemingly simple slip and fall can have these, like, far-reaching legal implications. Murphy v. Holiday Inns is a testament to that. It's this landmark case that continues to shape how we understand liability, corporate responsibility, and that delicate balance of power in the world of franchises.
It's a reminder that the law is constantly evolving, responding to new situations and refining its understanding of how the business world operates. And it underscores why it's so crucial to stay informed, whether you're a lawyer, a business owner, or just, like, a consumer navigating the marketplace.
Well said. We often interact with these brands without considering the intricate legal machinery at play. But cases like this one give us a glimpse behind the curtain, and that knowledge is empowering.
So next time you see that familiar logo, remember, there's more to the story than meets the eye. There's a whole world of legal agreements, business models, and yes, even ethical considerations woven into that brand identity.
And who knows, maybe this deep dive will inspire you to ask some questions, do a little research, and gain a deeper understanding of the forces that are shaping the businesses you interact with every day.
Thanks for joining us on the deep dive into the world of franchise law and the lasting legacy of Murphy v. Holiday Inns, Inc. We'll see you next time on the deep dive.